Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
Hello and welcome to episode 34 of the Battlecast. I'm your host, Seth Vilo, here with a couple brilliant people to talk about something a little different than normal. Instead of diving into the Smogon land, we're diving into what's coming up on the Puckle radar. So I have the two brilliant minds behind the Puckle Draft League here with me. Starting off, we've got the one, the only Mr. Claude Nine.
Howdy, howdy, who?
And the additional one and only, Dr. Geo.
Hey guys, it seems my cooldown for Battlecast is up. Let's go.
Your cooldown for Battle. The stars have didn't that happen earlier where Saturn and Jupiter aligned like a couple weeks ago?
Yep, and here we are back again.
I have been summoned to Battlecast.
Once every 400 years.
The Titans are released and Geo comes back. That's what happens. Oh my gosh. So how have you guys been? What have you guys been up to, just any kind of battle-wise, anything to do with anything?
I think we've been spending a lot of time getting Season 5 good to go. Or at least I have.
I've spent a lot of time also playing Super Staff Bros. Brawl 4.
Super Staff Bros. The best ladder on anything.
Yep. It is ridiculous, and it is absurd, and
it looks like fun.
Is it still going?
It's still going.
Okay, good. I didn't want to miss out.
They're not going to change it for a year.
Good.
It'll just be there hidden on... Yeah. We'll eventually have our own battle cast about Super Staff Bros.
Oh, that would just be...
awful.
Chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos. You guys should do that for one of the Poke of the Episodes.
Well, you don't pick a team. They give you a random team.
Exactly. YouTube video, you just doing that. And just do the episode on whichever one gave you the most success. Oh, that's a fun ladder. That's a really fun ladder. I need to play it. But the other really fun ladder, if you want to call it a ladder, is the PDL stuff. So that's why I've got these guys on. We've gotten our people. Sign-ups are done for that, right? Is that right?
By the time most people listen to this, it'll be done. There's a few days left, but we're really tight already in terms of we've had a tremendous turnout.
Okay, so on release, that'll probably be all wrapped up and everything. So now this is where the folks who got in can start planning out what they want to draft, because take it from me, what you draft can make or break your success rate for the rest of the time.
They say that 90% of how you do is based on your draft.
Yeah. I won one game last time I played. It was great. One of the entire season. But I had fun. The memes I tried did not work, but
Meteor Beam, Clefable?
Meteor Beam, Clefable. I had it for two battles, and it died before I could use it.
Oh,
so
sad.
Sad, sad day.
I was... I was so sad, so upset. It was going to rock the world. And then, like, the other thing is, like, the person didn't end up bringing what I brought Meteor Beam Clefable for.
Oh, no.
So I see the team preview, and I'm just, well, shoot, there goes my gimmick. I have no reason to use a rock move. Dagnabbit. Oh, well. But before we dive into draft, we have just a couple of things in tier time to go over, so we will be right back.
It's tier time.
And we're back for tier time, and before we dive into it, I'm going to go ahead and pull back the curtain a little bit on why this one's going to be different from the rest. We, at Puckle Plus, are changing up the release schedule next month of when each show comes out. The Battlecast will now be coming out on the second week of each month instead of the last week of each month. So with that in mind, and with there being 2 weeks between now and the next one, and there's going to be a tier shift in between there and all that kind of stuff, we're going to hold back on a little bit on the depth that we usually go in this tier time. It's New Year's, whatever. That's going to be one excuse, but also we're going to go more in depth next month when we actually have a little bit more, because it'd be silly to talk about all the things that happened and changed this time only for it to be completely different in 2 weeks. So we're going to run through real fast, go through the bans and a couple big effects that we just see as the three of us. And that's how we're going to do it this month. So starting off from the top, we've got Uber, which recently had the biggest change of any of the tiers a couple months ago with the banning of Dynamax. And now there is a lot of ramification from that. Just mainly, everyone's looking at banning to anything goes either Zacian Crowned or Calyrex Shadow Rider form.
Is that the sword dog?
Yeah, that's okay. The sword dog.
I was going to say, I don't think the shield dog would be all that effective.
No, shield dog is bad.
The shield dog is actually looking to possibly be tested in OU. That's how bad it is.
I think it's only the crowned version, or the shield version, right? The one that has to hold the item?
The rusty shield.
Yeah. Because if you can change, if you take its stats and give it any item, it's nuts. It can do
exactly.
It's better than OU. But like, if you force it to have that item, it's worse, which is funny.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's that bad being restricted to that item. But it's a knockoff absorber, so whatever. But anyway, this is Uber's, and I was kind of shocked reading through the discussion things. I was under the impression that Calyrex Shadow would be the first on everyone's radar. It's not. It's actually Zacian that's first on everyone's radar to look at.
Well, Zacian's also, it's been stupid and broken and very, very good in Uber since the dawn of Gen 8.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is you can't suddenly double your HP to counter it anymore now that Dynamax is gone.
Well, and that's the big change.
Doesn't it have Behemoth Blade anyway? So, like, what does that matter? I don't play Ubers, so I'm asking questions here.
Yeah, you're good. No worries. It does double the damage, but that might... It doubles the base damage, but it still might not be enough to break past what you're looking at. Like, if a Kyogre is Dynamaxed in front of you, it doesn't matter if you Behemoth Blade or not. It's still a resisted move, so it's not going to do a lot.
Yeah, true.
I think it's like the one of the numbers doubles, but and then defense is calculated, and then it takes away from HP rather than, it does this much, and then just double it.
Yeah, gotcha. It doesn't just double the damage. Doubles the damage base. That's all.
Understood.
Yeah. And that was what was allowing, I guess, things to kind of stick in on Zacian and counter it a little bit more, was the fact they could just go big and also crank up the base power of their moves and all that kind of stuff in most cases. So with that gone, Zacian is... One person summarized it really well. It has exactly one counter in the entire Pokedex, and that is Quagsire. That's it? Unaware Quagsire. Yeah, that disables the...
the plus one.
Yeah, whatever. What's that ability? Intrepid Sword. Sheesh. All the other things that people are using to check it, the other things that they listed that are possible are Arcanine with Intimidate. Meh. Ugh. And Necrozma Duskmane, which Assurance, after it takes rocks switching into the Zacian, an Assurance hit can do like 80% to it. So that's not a counter.
That's not enough.
Mm-mm. No.
Arcanine feels bad in a world of Kyogre and Groudon.
Which is why it's not even
like that's a joke.
A viable. Yeah.
I guess your best counter is just running Ditto.
That's another reason that Ditto's use is so high, honestly.
Yeah.
We're back to like when OU first dropped.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You can gauge the brokenness of a tier by the usage of Ditto, really.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah. A lot of teams are forced to run the combo of Eternatus, Necrozma, Duskmane, and Yveltal, which counters, or at least checks, both Zacian general threats with Eternatus and
Calyrex,
thank you. Yeah, with the Yveltal. Tons of teams just have those three.
But that's not a good meta if you have to have three of the same thing.
Yeah.
Granted, it's Ubers, so it's Ubers.
Yeah,
Let's move on.
Let's move on. We're probably going to see an Anything Goes ban, but let's move on. So, down to OU, which has had a lot happen in the last month. One thing is...
We'll sum it up.
Oh, go ahead.
We can sum it up in two sentences.
Yeah, really, we can. Faramosa was banned. That suspect came and went over the last month. And surprisingly, within like a week, Urshifu single strikes suspect test came up. So by the time the next Battlecast comes out in a couple weeks, that'll probably be gone.
Yeah,
and
probably.
I can finally sleep easy at night.
There's no way it stays in. I think the only reason why it's been in for so long is it dropped with the last DLC. And then, you know, Magearna was a bigger problem at the time. And then they brought everything else back. And so it's just finally his turn.
Is Magearna still around or was that banned?
It was banned, but it came back with the DLC 2.
Okay.
It may be next. I don't know. Let's get rid of Urshifu and see how it does, you know?
It's just like when you have so little counters to it.
At least Heatran's back at the same time.
Yeah, so that's going to be a huge check to it. So I'm not as worried about it. But
no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, granted, there's always going to be something that's broken or meta-centralizing in OU.
Yeah, it just eventually happens. And it's
just that Urshifu single strike is just a little too strong.
There's no way to play around it. Like, you're forced to run something like, you know, physically defensive.
Possible.
Yeah, or Toxapex. I don't know.
Galarian Weezing is your counter.
Ugh. Until it iron heads you and then oops.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people are annoyed and think like, oh, Toxapex is broken. No, it's because it's common, because Urshifu's common, because that's one of the only things that can switch into it to try and predict what it's going to do. Because you throw Toxapex in case it close combats, and because it can absorb a Wicked Blow, then you go to the other thing once you know what move it's locked into and let Regenerator heal you out. That's the reason that Clefpex is common, is because, oh, he used Wicked Blow. That 2-hit KOs my physically defensive Toxapex. Let's go to Clefable, which resists it, as he switches out to a Clefable counter. Yay.
it's very easy to use. That's a problem, too.
It's a mindless...
It's a win button.
Yep.
Yeah. So I will be happy to see it gone. I don't see anybody making arguments why it should stay that particularly hold water, so...
It could only stay if all the original stuff that dropped down from Ubers stayed in. But that was a weird, chaotic mess of so many OP things where, like, whatever mon you started with, if you just kind of won if they didn't have a counterplay to it. Like,
well, that's the thing, is, like,
stuff.
He wasn't, like, even in that meta, he was still as strong. It's just there were other things that were stronger that made you not want to use it.
Yep. So, moving down the line... Like I said, we're doing rapid fire here. We've got Yu, which if you caught the Puckle Showdown a couple weeks back, you got to watch us all learn this tier together. It was a grand old time. It was a hilarious battle series. But a couple things happened there. Ban-wise, Aegislash and Galarian Zapdos were banned by Quick Ban. And also, after a public suspect test, Blaziken was banned to UUBL.
Yeah.
So...
Blaziken was busted.
It kind of was. After watching the showdown and seeing people both use and be destroyed by it, down there, yeah, it's busted.
Yeah. I'm hoping with Urshifu gone, maybe Blaziken can get some more usage, but I don't know, man. I'm not convinced yet.
Yeah. The thing I worry about is things like Slowbro rising because Urshifu's gone, and Slowbro is a Blaziken stop, so it might make it go even lower.
Listen, if you get a Swords Dance up, you can 2-hit KO with Thunder Punch.
I mean, true. Or just run it with Electric Terrain.
We're just
going to
see Coco Lucha come back.
Oh, God. It's already starting.
Why did you say it?
It's that and, like, Tapu Lele, who hasn't seen a lot of play, is going to just start coming back more.
It barely made OU. Like, it's like 38th or whatever in the list of OU Pokemon, and I think there's only 39 slots. Mm-hmm. It barely made OU.
It's going to stay OU.
I hope so. People are catching on to how disgustingly powerful Lele is, so we'll find out. Jumping down the next tier, it's a really simple one. RU banned Diggersby. That's
yep.
The only real thing.
Yep. I mean, that makes sense. I was surprised it dropped so far, but
yeah. RU lost a couple of mons just from usage in UU, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It lost Slowking and Grimmsnarl just in general to regular tier updates.
It also lost, I thought it lost something else. Never mind.
Yep. So now we have the tier next up with the biggest amount of change, NU.
So buckle up. I disagree. I think NU is fine.
Yeah. After these bans, I think so. So buckle up. Here's the bans in NU for the last month. Lucario, Arctisult, Durant, Male Indeedee, Heracross, Drought, Poltegeist, Linoon, yes. Sharpedo, Slurpuff, Drizzle, Tornadus Incarnate, Barbaracle, and Slowbro Galar. So, weather, and a lot of other things.
Yep.
You can't run weather in NU anymore. Yeah. So sad day.
What they've been doing is they started with everybody in OU, and they've slowly been moving people down to the tiers they belong in, and each month has its own, like, shift. Like, we see a big NU shift this time, and you'll notice that because there were, what, I almost want to say, like, 50 different things that got added to PU because of these NU changes.
Yeah.
And it looks ridiculous. I don't want to name all the things that dropped to the PU because we would be here in another 5 minutes.
What's 7 times 9? I can't think.
63.
Well, that's how many things dropped.
Are you sure?
Roughly, like with quick count the column, count the row things. That's right, how so many things.
I believe it's 66.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how much dropped from NU to PU. So real quick, let's. I mean, that's NU as a whole. Those are the bans. Yeah. We aren't sure of the ramifications yet. We'll go into more depth, like I said, next month. Next show. Month. Not next month.
Show.
Go enjoy the chaos in the meantime.
Fine. Yeah.
Next year, we could even say.
Next year. Yeah, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, PU, in addition to those 66-ish things that Claude was mentioning, you can find the graphic on the Smog on Twitter, on the Smog on Facebook, in the thread, in the forums. You can find that, and there'll be another one by the time this comes out. They also unbanned everything that they had previously had in PUBL to try them out again. So that is uncharted territory.
Except for the things they immediately banned.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were
certain
things that dropped from NU to just NU BL.
Right. Yeah, those were the things there that don't have high enough usage for being fully NU. Absol, Arctivish, Galvantula,
Golurk,
Hitmontop, Magneton, Mesprit, and Scyther. That was kind of a fun, do I recognize this Pokemon sprite quiz? That was good job, me.
Next we'll have Geo name everything that dropped from NU to PU and see what he gets right.
Oh, no. I mean, I can just do the three, forms there of our boy.
Silvally, Silvally, and Silvally. Yeah, yay, you got it.
There's three forms, three colors.
Let's see. You got a white thing, and a gray mon, something with wings, another mon with wings, something pink.
One of them poison. Big
tree.
Steel, maybe?
Two things with sword arms.
Kind of a tree. A big rock. Another
Golbat,
big rock.
Machamp. Let's just get our Gen 1 mons out of the way.
There we are. There it is. Okay. Gen 1-er. I'm surprised Golbat dropped. Thinking about it, like, that's one of Thatch's favorite things to run in draft.
It's a lot of fun in general. I also like it.
Yeah, well, I expected it to keep rising. And Roserade's down here. I remember using that thing, get the plug in, back in Gen 4.
Wasn't Roserade just like NU or RU not too long ago?
It was. Yeah, it was NU, dropped to PU by this graphic. Like, holy mackerel.
Oh, man.
But anyway, that is the rapid fire tier time that we've gone through. Again, we'll have more analysis next show. So without dilly-dallying, let us proceed on to the topic. We'll be right back.
And now for our main topic.
And welcome back to the topic. We have with us the two brilliant minds, as I said earlier, behind the Puckle Draft League. And so we're going to talk Draft League because that's coming up. We're going to start building our teams. Do we have a draft day or anything like that fully determined yet or still in the works?
Claude, you want to take this one?
We have a day.
If I'm putting
almost
you on the spot,
planned
stop me.
Out. Can we announce what it is? No.
Sounds good.
But we have something. We are waiting on a couple of responses to let us know what's going on.
Perfect.
Before we announce whether it's going to be a fast draft, a slow draft, Shield will always be slow, but fast for, you know.
As long as we can get everyone in on it. If, like, we're kind of a little tired of people missing for one reason or another. It just...
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. It isn't fun for the people that miss. And,
no.
You know.
So I think we have all... I think we're waiting on like one or two people.
I think two. One is like a hard maybe, and then the other is needs to get a work schedule. So
yeah. So it's like if the work aligns with us, there will be a fast draft on a day. If not, it will be a slow draft for everyone, and we can all deal with it.
Yep. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It's good that you guys are trying to get everyone's consideration and buy-in too, so that's really good.
So
we're talking the preps that you need to start kind of considering and making before draft day. So tell us, there's a couple changes between this draft and the ones that we have done before. Can you guys enlighten me a little bit on what's different about this draft versus like PDL4?
Okay, the biggest change from PDL4 is we have brought S tier back.
Yeah.
with Crown Tundra, it dropped a ton of top tier mons, right? So we were left with either a super inflated A tier or we start bumping things up into S. And we spent a lot of time, all the admins, figuring out what should be S, what should be A, and kind of rebalancing around that. So it's very top heavy, I would say, this season compared to old seasons.
I wouldn't say
it's debatable. It's debatable.
So, like, to counteract a lot of that, we did input a change to A tier, where normally we've had it be costing 180 points, but this time it's going to cost 200. Just so that way you are taxed a little harder. Because we've noticed that, at least in the past couple of seasons, where you can just draft, like, a couple of A tier mons, not care about your problem of your draft, and you have just an incredible lineup no matter what.
Yeah. I suppose before we get too far, do we want to give just a very quick overview of what Pokemon Draft League is?
Sure, go for it. Listeners. In case people are brand new, yeah.
Yeah, so at least how ours works, it's similar to like a fantasy football league. We have a certain number of players. We call them coaches. It goes through a snake draft. There's a pool of Pokemon that we've tiered from S down to E. You're required to take one from each tier, and then you have a certain number of points that you can spend on other mons. Once a mon is selected, no other player can take that Pokemon. So only one person can get a Rillaboom, one person can get an Entei, so on and so forth. And then you battle out each week, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so just to go in further depth, we do have a whole rule sheet on the doc, on the Discord. If people are interested in learning more about it, we will be announcing all the coaches on January 3rd, and then the draft order on the 4th, I believe, is what we've established. So, but as far as it goes, the point is that you draft, I think, 10 mons over the course of either a couple hours or a couple of days, and then each week you go into battle and be like, oh, I know what my opponent has. Let me prepare my team to best beat my opponent. And they're also doing the same for you. So it becomes a team building, like strategic skill strategy, fun RNG based game. I'm trying to think of all the other buzzwords I could throw in there.
Pretty good summary, I think.
Yeah.
I think that captures most of it.
Yeah. The other change that we are doing is we are changing the number of trades that you are allowed. We've normally allowed 3 trades per season. I think we're like regular free agent trades. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. This time, we are upping that to a minimum of four, or a minimum of four. And depending on if we do a fast draft, we may jump that to five. Just so that way people have a little more flexibility with their team. Because if you only get 1 minute to pick and you realize, oh, I should have done this with my team instead. And at the end of the draft, it's like, all right, cool. There's a break, there's time, and then we'll announce when everything will be up and running. You can try and make changes to your team without much penalty.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
For my own reasons, I like that a lot.
Yes.
But it should help a little bit.
Yeah. We're trying to make it a little more fair for everyone. That was one of the big comments we got from last season, was that people wanted some more trades. So we debated doing like a 24-hour like free period of you can do whatever you want in those 24 hours, but that can just be a mess.
That's a little too much. That kind of defeats the purpose of the draft.
Exactly.
I think the other big thing is we're stopping trades much earlier in the season.
Halfway. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Try and limit some people that just want to dump their teams like with 2 weeks left.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, we've seen that a couple of times where it's like, oh, I can't make playoffs. Let me trade my best couple of mons to this person so that they have a better shot at winning. And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. That's not how this works. You don't see that in like professional sports. Being like, oh, what do you know? LeBron didn't make playoffs. Let's trade him to a team that's on the playoffs, and they can
give him to someone who will. Okay.
Okay, so we can get back on the track.
So like the Pokemon themselves.
Yes.
Things
so
like that.
I think the easiest thing to do is just starting with it. Like, we're going to have 18 to 20 people in each draft, and there are 26 S tier mons. Now, there are not 26 mons that are deserving of S tier. Let me start out with that. However, we didn't want to force it to be like, oh, well, you have these 20 mons and you're guaranteed you have to pick one of them. Like, and then all of them will be picked by at some point. We wanted to give some flexibility because some people may value things higher or lower than other people, and you by no means have to select your S tier first, but that is the most limited and restricting tier out of all of them. So it's highly recommended that you get yours.
You at least have an idea of what you want before you go into the draft. Like,
exactly.
I would kind of just airball my choice of S tier. Like, this one's fine. Let's go.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, once we announce the draft order, you can actually start preparing. Because there's a big difference between, oh, I am within the top five to pick. And it's, oh, cool. I can base my entire draft. I can make five different drafts in my mind about different S tiers I can get versus being like 18 or 19. And it's like, oh, okay, so I'm going to not get my top tier S choice, but I could get something else. And it varies on how you want to build your draft and go from there. And it also varies if you're in the middle. Like, if you're 9 through basically 11 is just a weird spot to be in.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think 9 through 12 is like the middle, and it's like you don't really get a good spot. But granted, that's enough to get a good solid S tier. And a decent it's not the worst spot anymore. I've been seeing more and more drafts where if you are in the middle, your drafts turn out a little better based on just because you have these, like, especially when there is more power, it's, you're getting more of a balance and you're not having like a weak side where I feel like you can end up with being on one of the wheels.
I feel like it's almost a bait to get one of the higher picks too. Because you can mess it up. Like, if you don't pick something that ends up being broken later, like, then you're left with like weaker A tier mons and a weaker S tier mon. So it's tough. There's a lot of pressure, I think, in those first couple picks.
Yeah, like, there are, in my mind, I can look at this and I see there are probably 5, maybe 8 really solid S tier mons that I consider like very good. You should pick these and build a team around them. If you don't pick one of those in the top 8, you have a lot more work you have to catch up on later. You'll have to look for steals and things like it back to you to make work in better fashion, I would say.
Yeah.
It's all a crapshoot of, like, granted, if you are the number one pick, you have, like, 30-something picks before it's back to you. You better hope that your next two picks can make up for that.
Yeah. That's a real hard time.
Yeah. I've been number one before. I've been like 28th before. It varies. It really does change how you approach it. And there is no one best spot. between like number 1, number 10, number 12, 13. It's all about how you pick and what you find. And a lot of the time, the most important thing is being versatile and being able to adapt to your position. Mm-hmm. Because if you get something later, it's like, this shouldn't have dropped to me. I should take this. But will that then screw up the rest of your plan? Or how quickly can you adjust on the fly, especially if you're in the fast draft?
Right.
Yeah.
I think, depending on who you ask, some people put quite a bit of time into their prep for the fast draft. I know our little team building, we do put in quite a bit of work in terms of ranking mons in each tiers.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of that set already.
Yeah. It's just kind of to speed things up, because when things are happening, you know, 1 minute at a time, you blink and it's your turn to draft.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that's the thing is, if you're in the middle, you have less time. You have 20 minutes between each pick, whereas if you're on one of the ends, you can think 30 minutes between, okay, I made this pick, I have 30 minutes to figure out my next thing.
Yeah. I've had it a couple times where, like, the person two slots before me picked what I was targeting, so now I have 120 seconds to figure out what I'm going to replace that slot with.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got you want to have your ideal pick and a couple backups kind of in mind if you can.
At all
but
times.
Don't be too dedicated to it. Like, things will go awry, things will screw up, so be ready to adapt. And that's what trades are for later on.
Yeah,
and this is kind of a good segue into talking about roles on teams that you want to draft for anyway. Because, like, if you're dead set on, like, Alakazam, you're looking for this, like, special wall breaker sweeper, have an idea of other mons that fill that same niche for your team, whether it's another psychic mon, another high special attack, whatever you were actually looking for in that Alakazam. If Alakazam goes two rounds before you, like, or two picks before yours, you it's easier to come up with that backup instead of just like, it's not easy, but it is easier.
I think the more you can generalize what you want to do and, like, break that down into, I like big, bulky offense. Or I really like to play stall. Or I want to be very aggressive all the time. You can break that down into specific pieces of, I would like to find a mon that can set up a sword stance, just sweep a team. And then that gives you an idea of, let me look through all the Pokemon that are available throughout all the tiers. But, who can I pick that can do this? Or I really like Shell Smash. I want a Shell Smash user. You can figure out who you can use, and it gives you more options. And then when you're drafting, it's like, I want to draft this thing now. And then you can look and figure out, I only have these amount of points. I want to grab this thing. Or can I afford to grab something else if it's not on this list of stuff that I want? Like, it's a matter about figuring out the roles, and, like, I almost draft by role half the time rather than the mon itself. Just because I think it keeps me more flexible.
I try and keep two things in mind when I'm drafting, and it's, well, I got, okay, it's a lot more than two. I'm going to rewind it a little bit and just kind of bring it back to, like, what if you're kind of newish to draft? Because we're talking about a lot of, feel more advanced concepts here. I think you can kind of start off pretty simple and, you know, build a good draft around this. And you kind of want to get two things. You want to get your two cores set up. And this is by no means saying you have to have them, your fire, water, grass core and your fantasy core.
So just to give you a quick tidbit, the reason why those are cores and considered good cores is because they have good synergy with each other. A lot of the times they check each other's weaknesses, which is the whole purpose that they're called a core. You by no means need to have a fire, water, grass, or a fairy, dragon, steel core.
Like, I wouldn't get into round six and be like, all right, I don't have my water type. What water types are on the board? I wouldn't get into that, but, like, if you have those and you have drafted some type of win condition, like a super fast mon that hits fast, or, you know, is a really good priority user, Linoon, extreme speed comes to mind. I think if you're fairly new, that can set you up to at least be in a good position to win games. You still have to win them, but you kind of cover your bases that way. You have most of your roles fit, as long as you know, good synergy between your typings, and you have a win condition mon who will win games for you.
Yeah, because the more synergy you have between your mons, the better off you are.
Yes, and that's what we've seen, I think, in the past couple seasons of draft, is these winning teams have more in synergy with each other than like necessarily using the most broken mons in the tier. Like, there's still stuff that's broken about them, maybe, you could argue, but there's just a lot of, like, it works well together, where you can't address all the threats at once.
Or they cover each other's weaknesses enough where if you focus too hard on breaking one thing, you can't break something else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we've purposely left a couple of things either very high or very low in the tiers, so that way you can build some of these cores and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed that things like the C tier and the D tier and even the E tier are just gigantic, and those are kind of the cheaper things. So, you know, finding the budget version of the Pokemon that you really wanted but don't have enough points for is kind of a fun thing. Like, for instance, if I really wanted to draft Reuniclus because I am a monster and incredibly evil, but if I don't have enough points for it, Duosion can kind of accomplish the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's E tier.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to be ready to accommodate for how different it is from actual Reuniclus.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Ferrothorn and Bereseed. They're in two different tiers, do very very similar things sometimes.
Yeah, there's like budget versions of other mons.
Exactly.
There's Budget Panda. I think he's C tier.
Pangoro?
Pangoro is D, I believe, still.
Oh, D? Okay. Well, I mean, he's budget. He's budget Urshifu.
Yeah.
Just without the speed. And the Wicked Blow, but that's kind of important.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, so there's lots of ways you can go to the draft. It's probably a little intimidating when you first look at it, but I would even say when we announce everything and you start to prep, almost even do it top-down. Definitely take the time, though, to...
Mm-hmm.
Rank your choices through each of the tiers, because that'll help you. Because I feel even in the slow draft, when it gets to your turn, that time can go by fairly quickly if you're not paying attention to Discord.
Yeah, and draft position determines a lot. Like, I don't start doing a lot of my real prep until I know where I am in the draft.
Yeah, yeah. There's no real point. No. Like, you can kind of mentally say, hey, this mon looks good in this tier or that.
Yeah.
But
like, things look good everywhere until it's like, oh, okay, I am the third pick overall. And then at that point, it's, okay, let me plan out my first three picks that I would take in order, so that way if one's gone, it's gone. Two is gone, okay. And then I'll do that. All right, cool. If I get one of these three mons, what teams can I build off of them? What mons synergize well with this? And then I just start building out more and more flow charts off of that to be like, okay, we start with this at the top, and then we just start building off that until we get to a good point. And even if you're later on in the picks, like, I've done it several times where it's, okay, cool, I'm going to draft my top 20 mons and figure out which ones I want, what I don't want, what's still around. Do I want anything in a tier below or higher that fits things better? And it becomes a giant game, like a giant puzzle to figure out. And that's all a lot of Draft League is getting things that it's a puzzle. Trying to figure out what you have and how you can best your opponent in a creative way or in a brute force way. It all works.
Yeah, I think that's why most people are drawn to it, is because of the sheer amount of like puzzling and problem solving you get to do.
Because no two matches are the same.
No, even if two coaches face each other with the same 10 mons twice, there's bound to be differences after the first match. You make adjustments. It's a really creative way to see how some people are able to use mons in different ways, too, with different movesets, or just some items get usage that don't really see too much. Like, I think the British Gent used the utility umbrella.
Nice.
Like, he switched it, or he tricked it onto a rain dance mon, and it was like, oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
So there's some fun interactions that you don't normally get to see.
The Legend of Thunder Ferrothorn.
Oh yes. I feel like if you're
was that Shambles and Ozzy?
Huh? That was
Shambles.
I forget who and Sigma.
Oh, Shambles and Sigma. Yeah.
the Baltimore or Corios.
Yeah, Sigma had a Pelipper and he felt it was safe on a Ferrothorn, and Ferrothorn whipped out Thunder and knocked it out.
Oh. Instant tilt, I can guarantee it. I would be.
And that's, and that's the fun part, is who knew Ferrothorn got Thunder?
Right.
And then it has to hit and connect.
Well, it was raining already.
Oh, it was raining already. Perfect. Never mind.
After because that, because the Pelipper was in.
But like that just shows the fun you can have. Like, we've had a bunch of crazy things happen. So, you never know. And that's the fun part, is just watching the matches and seeing who can do well. And then, yeah, we have a longer season this time as well. I think it's 12 weeks, or 13 weeks, 12 games, versus, I think, 9, what we did last time. So we're moving it on a little bit more. We think it's going to be fair that way.
Yeah, more. We've added wild card slots back in because we're just going to do the two conferences again. So that should be more fun. It removes the stigma of there being one blood conference and the other being quote unquote easy. Whether that's true or not, now there's really no excuse. There's more wild card teams that can get in the playoffs.
Yeah,
a blood conference.
So like. It is entirely possible for the playoffs. I forgot what we said it to. I think like we have, I think we chose to, like, if there's 20 teams, I think this time we're doing 12. So it's slightly more than half.
We the NBA now.
Yeah. Just so that way it's, we're giving more people an opportunity to play and have fun and do well. And I think that's the main purpose that we want to get across, is that this is PDL. This is fun. We are by no means the best draft league players in the world, but we like it and we enjoy it. And we've been doing it for 5 seasons now. So
yeah,
we're doing something right, and we want to just keep having fun. And that's the most important thing.
I'm really glad we were able to split up into two leagues, because because it was a problem, I think, when you got these brand new people coming in and, you know, they face like one of us or a Fac Luigi. And it's like, so could you tell me what EV training was? Like, nothing personal, kid. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for what's about to happen.
No. Oh, dear.
Yeah, because I remember that happening when we used to be on cart, where people didn't always have the ability to get the different mons every single week. So, but yeah, now that, like, we're on Showdown, it's so much easier. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
That was a change I was a little worried about. And then after it happened, I was like, I don't know why I was worried ever.
No.
Yeah.
I think you get more people because of it.
Yeah.
Just, and the wide variety of stuff that you can do. It's like, oh, I didn't know this Pokemon got this move. How does it get this move? Wait, I don't care.
Yeah, remove tutor from Gen 3. Yeah.
Ugh. It gives me weird soft boil vibes, man.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Which was a pain, even if you had the ability to gen on cart, because you had to know the exact origin story of the mon you were genning.
Exactly.
Ugh. Never again.
Yeah. One other thing I'll throw out there, which Claude has to remind me of every time I look at this draft ladder list, is that just because something is good in OU or not good in OU does not mean it will be good or bad in draft.
Yes.
They are not directly, they're slightly related, but not directly related because of the weird ways that teams have to be built by the rules.
That, and there's only one of each mon.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about Spectriers running around on every single team, because only one person will have it. And because, like, if you look at everything in A, and in S tier, none of the S tier mons can be together. And if you look at that compared to OU, that's, I want to say, about half of OU, if not more.
Yeah, right? It really is.
So, like, you're basically taking, alright, so none of OU can, like, you will have pieces of things. So, there are things like Necrozma. Necrozma is a very, very good mon draft. And what is it? PU?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And that's just because it has such a wide move pool that when you can base your matchups on a week-to-week basis, it becomes that much stronger. Whereas when you're playing on the ladder, it's just another mon. And you have to prepare for everything at the same time, and usually you're just running stab coverage and you lose dark types or something.
But here it can be a tanky toxic machine. It can sweep, it can set hazards, it does so many things.
And it can be both physical and special, so you never really know.
Yeah.
And that's why it's the versatility of a mon makes it that much more powerful. It's like things like Infernape are always an incredible mon in draft, because it can be physical, it can be special, It can. It's fast. It has priority.
It has both priorities too. It has vacuum wave and lock punch.
Yep. It has hazards. I think it has will-o-wisp, slack off. Like it has a bunch of like crazy moves that you never know what it's going to do.
Gen 4 starters were just built different, man.
Yeah, it's a shame they're not here. But like that's the fun part is you have to then figure out, all right, what are they going to do? How can I prepare for that? And the other thing that we've decided this time that I think is going to be interesting is we're not releasing the conferences or the schedule until after the draft. So you'll have no idea who you're going to play until after you've drafted your team.
Nice. I like that. That's fun. So you're not looking at what they're drafting and being like, oh, crap, now I've got to counter that.
There wasn't
too
much of it, but even some metagaming like that we just felt was anti-fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, is it going to make a big impact? No, not at all. But I know I've done it where it's like, oh, gosh. Wait, the guy who drafted Tapu Koko, all right, he's not in my conference. I don't actually play him at all. I don't have to worry about this. And I can draft differently accordingly.
I can get my ground type halfway through the draft, whatever.
Yeah, it's not as important to get early. Whereas with 20 people...
I should grab Hawlucha to steal it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I should grab this now, but you could be facing it 1 week, or you may not know.
Yeah.
Especially when you're going to be playing 12 games out of 19, 20 people. You're going to probably play most... You're going to play most people is the answer. So prepare for everybody or prepare for no one. It's all the same.
I got to hand it to you guys. Every time that we do one of these draft league things, it's a little bit better every single time. And I really think you guys are doing a fantastic job handling it and coming up with ways to improve it, little tweaks and changes. So
just
props
you
to
wait
you guys.
Till you see the doc. We have added. So Ozzy has come up with some brilliant, brilliant technical stuff in there, and then I've taken a couple of pieces of things that I've seen before. And I'm like, oh, this looks cool. Let's add this in there. And Ozzy's found a way to do it. And I'm most proud of the team page. The new team page, I think, looks so cool and has so much good information on there to help new players, old players, everyone, that it's going to just be awesome.
I'm excited.
Looks good. We also have the weekly streams coming back with hopefully better than last year. In fact, that getting better, Krappa.
Yeah, we're always going to get better. We're going to, try and pump out more positivity this time. And
we just keep
except
good
for,
content
except for Sword.
Rolling out.
Sword is going to be a bloodbath, and we're going to trash everybody because we can.
Yeah, that's more fun.
Awesome. I'm really excited for this. I think we've done a pretty good job kind of giving an idea, giving a coverage idea of what's coming down the pipeline for draft.
Before we hop off.
Yeah, go for it.
Gio, what is your favorite mon to use in draft? I figured we'd go through everybody.
The favorite that I've used in draft has to be Dredagon. It's D tier, but it's your physical pivot always. Like you can't attack it. And you spend no value on getting him. It's wonderful. I think I've had it twice now.
Yeah.
Three times. It's good.
Seth?
What about you?
Oh, boy. For me, I gotta say that I really like the Ditto strategy. Because that whole thing that Claude said earlier about, if there's only one in the draft. Ha ha ha. Joke's on you. No, there's not. I have a Ditto. I can do it, too. And it also really discourages the opponent from having a runaway setup sweep, because if they even consider building it, like even in building the team, they have to build their team in a different way for the Ditto threat.
I will say there are a couple of traps to that. Anytime there's an ability like, I think Unburden, Ditto does not copy the Unburden boost.
Correct. Yeah.
So like I've been in a situation where I've had Hawlucha pop off from like an electric seed, and then someone brings in a Ditto thinking they're going to kill it, and I still go faster, and acrobatics is stronger for me.
Yep, exactly.
Like, acrobatics is another thing that helps counter the Ditto if you are.
That's when you counter the counter with electric seed Ditto.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You gotta know the tricks to get behind it.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine that electric seed Ditto just to go? Oh my gosh.
So you
copy the Hawlucha, get the electric seed boost. Actually, does that work like
and
that?
And then pray you're faster.
Wait. So was a, would electric seed go point. Off before the transform or no?
I don't know the mechanics.
I don't know. Actually,
I would test that before you go into
yeah.
a battle.
So, yeah, this is the fun part where we get these crazy scenarios of like, oh, does this happen? And I can't tell you the amount of times I've like had a one-on-one battle with someone in Showdown just to test an obscure thing. I'm like, bring whatever you want. I need to know how this works.
Yeah, uh-huh. I need to know the order of which these like effects proc. It
I remember it was in a draft league that I learned that Magic Bounce reflects Parting Shot. So they tried to Parting Shot my Sableye, and now the Sableye bounced it back, and I could switch out.
I had that with Clear Body. They went to Parting Shot. I had a mon with Clear Body. I think it was a Metagross, and nothing happened. My stats couldn't happened. Be lowered, and he couldn't switch out.
Oh.
So he tried to switch out, and Clear Body activated. My stats weren't lowered. He didn't switch out, and suddenly I hit him with a Meteor Mash, and it was like, well.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, granted, that was back in Gen 7, and I hope that's still the case now.
This one isn't yeah. as obscure, but I still found out during battle. Court Change switches screens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Including Aura Veil.
Oof.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
How about you, Claude? What's your favorite thing to run?
Oh, gosh. So, and this is my favorite thing just because it's a meme, but I love Linoone.
Of course.
Even in C tier, I think it is still really, really powerful. Because A, it's 100 base speed. Extreme speed is faster than everything else. And Belly Drum Gluttony.
Yeah.
Like,
and it has Stomping Tantrum now to actually dent steels yeah. instead of Shadow Claw.
Stomping Tantrum, you have Shadow Claw, you have Throat Chop, Seed Bomb. It
you
can do a lot.
For about everything.
Granted,
yeah.
it's not the best thing, and it needs a lot of support.
Yeah.
But it can
sometimes
work.
Sometimes you can sneak it in there.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you hate to draft a C tier that you're going to bring like two or three times. But it's one of those that like you don't want to bring to every matchup because it is very predictable.
Yeah.
Like, I believe, what, you can run a Chelon Berry and suddenly your extreme speed is halved. And now you're a sad, sad Linoone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like...
Bring that normal gem extreme speed Regieleki. That's what you bring.
Is normal gem even around anymore?
Yeah, that's the only one.
Okay.
Oh. Huh. Okay.
Yeah, but like there are so many things with terrains that we have not explored yet.
Oh yeah.
That are around because we have so many more terrain setters, and now Steel Roller is a thing, so
we'll yeah. see if we get to see any fun interactions.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up there. In the spirit of this being a shorter episode, we are not doing a team of the episode this month. We'll catch you next month with that. So we're just calling it here, wishing you guys a happy new year, and hoping the next one isn't as interesting as this one has been. So this episode comes out on New Year's Eve. So, you know, be safe out there. Happy New Year and all that kind of good stuff. And, if you like what you hear, listen to Puckle, the big main feed on the actual Puckle feed instead of Puckle Plus where you're hearing this. Those have shows every Monday. In addition, Puckle Plus is, as I mentioned earlier in the show, we're doing a little bit of a shuffle with the order of shows starting next month, where the first episode of the month is going to be Game Corner, the second is Battlecast, third is TCG Cast, and fourth Thursday is... the Trivia Rewind. Trivia Rewind. So, tune into Puckle Plus, catch our other shows there, and also join our Discord. That's where all the magic happens, including this draft stuff, as we've mentioned several times, and any other events that we have. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and if you can support us, you can do that through TeePublic or our Patreon page. We greatly appreciate everything. It makes us all sound better. It goes right back into building the community. So, until 2 weeks from now, when the next episode of Battlecast comes out with the new schedule, I have been Seth Vilo.
I've been Claude9.
And I'm Dr. Geo.
And we'll catch you guys next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.